So welcome back to another episode of STEM Inspirations. And today we're joined by a collection of teachers who in recent years have been awarded the prestigious Educator of Excellence Awards. So we're joined by Bridget, Mary, Donal and Daryl. And I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves to our audience. So why don't you tell us your name, the school you're from, what type of school it is, and maybe when you first started to get involved with the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition.
So I'll start. My name is Donal Enright. I'm a teacher in Desmond College, Newcastle West, County Limerick. I've been involved in Young Scientists since 2005. We've had a good few students in, and it's a great event for the school. Type of school, we're a DESH school in West Limerick. We have approximately 500 students, and each year we'll have somewhere up and around 10 projects entering, if not all accepted.
My name is Bridget DeHaan. I'm a science, maths, biology teacher in Colossian, Crosshaven, County Cork. I think I started my Young Scientist journey in 2011, 2012 with Kinsale Community School. Emer, you were a student at the time, and I think you were one of the first groups I was involved with at that time. I remember being shocked. I think there was 40 students with two teachers going to Dublin, and I was like, whoa. Now, for me personally, it was a great experience, you know, 1 or 2 years out of teacher training to be involved with Kinsale, and I definitely learned a lot. From then, I suppose we've only had 1 or 2 projects. We built it up, myself, another teacher, Martina McMahon, over the last number of years, and we had a record entry of 8 projects last year from the school. We've kind of looked at, you know, only getting interested students from the school. We're a KESH, I suppose, co-educational school in Crosshaven, boys and girls. And we've about 500 pupils, and it's mainly transition students and young scientists, or we extended it to junior students last year.
I remember it well, the year that you were up there with me. It was my first year there as well.
I'm Daryl Dunn, a biology, science and maths teacher, and I suppose formerly of St. Joseph's Secondary School in Rush, where I started doing the Young Scientist back in 2017, so my first year out from my first NQT year, I was in the school. So St. Joseph's Rush wouldn't have had a huge history of competing in the Young Scientist, and a DESH school in North County Dublin. I started back in 2017, and fortunate enough, accumulated in the winning of Best School in the Republic of Ireland last year in 2023. I then took my exit stage left, and I've since left the school to go back to my native Cavan, and I'm currently now working in St. Bricket's College in Belturbet, County Cavan.
Yeah, I'm Mary Gorey. I'm a science, physics, coding teacher in Bursley in County Tipperary. St. Joseph's College, I suppose we're a small rural school. We'd have between 300 and 400 students presently. I got involved with Young Scientist in 2015, and we've been going ever since. And yeah, it's a whole school effort, but yeah, I really enjoy it.
Amazing. So it sounds like we have kind of teachers representing a lot of different types of schools and also from a lot of different areas in the country. And given as well that you're all kind of past winners of this Educator of Excellence Awards, I guess it means you have kind of a lot of tips and tricks that you might be able to impart on people who may be watching this. One thing that struck me here is that a lot of you seem to have kind of started the involvement of BT Young Scientists in your schools, or really kind of driven it. What tips would you have for someone where the BT Young Scientists isn't a very big event in their school yet? Would you have any tips for that?
I might go first. I started back in 2005, and while we hadn't been partaking at it at the time, our school had an involvement since 1968. So there was a kind of a history or a legacy in the school, and we were literally only building on it. In terms of getting teachers involved, I'm very lucky that I've got a lot of colleagues who've been involved over the years and who are likely to be involved again this year. One of the things we do is we'd always take the students up on a trip to the Young Scientist itself. So they feed off the enthusiasm of the students that are involved. Another thing we do is we showcase our projects either at open night or to all the other students prior to taking part and prior to going up to Dublin. So every student in the school gets to come and visit, gets to ask about the project. And before the guys ever get on a bus or a train to head to Dublin, they're pretty good at talking about it, and they're kind of building up a bit of a patter and a bit of a swag, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I think for me, one of the big reasons I ended up entering the BT Young Scientists was like that, from visiting in first year, just going up, not competing, and having a look at the exhibition. Does anyone else have any advice for maybe starting a culture, let's say, of the BT Young Scientist in your school?
Yeah, like Donal, there was a history in the school of the Young Scientists before I got here as well. And I think the biggest thing about, and I see, you know, that if you get management and colleagues, they buy into it, you know, that's really half the battle, or nearly all of the battle, if you have supportive management and colleagues. And I suppose in my case, I'm lucky they're not just supportive, they actually completely row in and help with things. And that really creates a culture, and it's, you know, made a special day. The school comes and visits, like Donal said, when we're up there, and they promote it. So yeah, that's hugely important to get the culture going, I think.
And I guess, why would you actually recommend maybe that a school or a teacher actually gets involved in the BT Young Scientist? What does the school environment itself get out of the event?
If I just answer for an hour's sake, there's a sense of achievement being involved in Young Scientist. It's at a time that is quiet after Christmas. The students, and in our case, some of them have been working over the summer, some of them have been working since last year on their projects. And it's a showcase. It's an opportunity for them to meet colleagues, friends, or other students, and to discover that they're as good as everybody else. And it's a great opportunity. They're visited by judges. They get to pitch their project. They get to meet other people. For me personally, I would say that as a teacher, I get way more out of Young Scientist than we ever put in. There's a kind of a sense of, isn't it great to be back? It's enjoyable. I meet colleagues. We spoke with Darrell there last year. We had a good few days. It's really, really enjoyable. And we get to meet other students. And you're enthused coming back from BT Young Scientist. You're kind of meeting people who are kind of passionate about what they're doing. And as a teacher, that would keep you going for the year. There'll be tough times in teaching, but being involved in Young Scientist isn't one of them.
Does anyone else have anything to add?
I was nearly going to really echo again what Donal said and Mary said. For us in St. Joseph's Rush, who maybe wouldn't have had the history at all that their schools might have had, the backing of management, and it's something as simple as just celebrating, for us was a first entry. So if a school was to start, I would always recommend, you know, sometimes you kind of have an idea of the kids who might like to do it, and start with the one group or the two groups. And when they get in, or hopefully to get in, or even if they submit a project, you know, having the school plumage them and tell them how great they are and such an achievement. And if they get into the RDS, like the other schools, you always bring the busloads of the first years up to try and get them involved in second year, and obviously the TYs. It plays such dividends when you come back to school, and like you see the kids, and even in the junior category, how they're able to talk to like adults, but to leading doctors and professors, the top we have in this country, that, and they're able to come back, and we used to often bring them into a whole school planning meeting in front of all their teachers, and in our place, maybe 80, 90 teachers. And they wouldn't bat an eyelash at explain this thing that they know more than the majority of teachers about. So that's really, really has paid dividends for us in the past. And now starting in a school, which again, wouldn't have a huge history of being in the competition, I'm going back to the exact same method, and hopefully that we can start building it where I currently am again.
Yeah, it really does build a kind of community up there, doesn't it, over the kind of 3-4 days of the event. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Bridget?
I suppose for us, periodically our school has been doing Young Scientists, so myself and another teacher have been timetabled with Transition Your Science. And for any school maybe starting off, I would recommend maybe that, where you promote within the Transition Year students, because they have more time. They have more time to obviously get involved as well. I do think success breeds success. We've had, you know, one or two prizes maybe every year because we've had a small number of projects, but that has encouraged junior students to get involved. I do think this year we had some third years who had done CBAs in second year, and they had continued work that they did in their CBAs and developed that into Young Scientist projects. So I think maybe that's a positive going forward. I suppose any teacher that's maybe even thinking about getting involved, as the lad said, the event is spectacular. We all get excited every year, but like the students, you can't get the experience the students get in the classroom. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Yeah, you just learn so much when you're actually applying yourself to a project. I remember that myself as a student. So let's talk about leading up to the event. How do your students typically actually come up with their ideas, or what tips do you give them when they're trying to formulate a project?
One of the things we've always had in our school is find a problem. Not necessarily the solution, but if you find the problem. So over the years, things that have happened, whether it was car crashes, whether it was people having accidents, hotels, whether it was to do with farm machinery, because a lot of our students would come from a kind of a semi-rural agricultural area, and issues that they would have in real life. They don't necessarily have to have a solution for it, and they'll bring it to the class and they'll pitch it to the class. And very quickly, someone said, "No, that's rubbish. I've seen this idea already. I've seen that solution." And it was someone would say, "Hang on, maybe if you were to do this," and then the journey begins. In our very first year back in 2005, we had identified a problem to do with car crashes, and the solution was the cat's eyes weren't interactive enough at the time. And so began the journey of looking for a mechanical, looking for electronic, and we eventually ended up using a paint. At the start of the project, neither I nor the students knew that this photochromic paint existed. And each year we have built up projects and something similar like that. So it's the inspiration from the parents, often grandparents, are things that are happening in the area. And I suppose the one word I tell to students is why. Why does something happen? Why does it not work the way you want it? Or why would you like it to work? And we'll build up on that. And that's the basis of a proposal.
And it sounds like you nearly have a little brainstorming session between the people who are interested in participating, which seems like a really good idea. Does anyone have any alternative methods that they've used to help students come up with ideas?
I think along the lines of Donald there, I just ask my students, what would make their lives easier? What would make their lives safer? What would make their lives happier? What are they most unhappy about? What changes could they make? You know, things like that. And I just always advise them then to maybe focus on their interests. If they're interested in sport, agriculture, if there's a real niche area that they really have an interest in, that maybe a lot of other people wouldn't have, to maybe focus on that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's something people maybe don't realize with science, is you can kind of apply science to everything, can't you? So whatever your interest is, be it music, sport, you should be able to apply some form of science to it.
Yeah, and students are always asking, well, what category should I do? I was like, forget about the category. The category will fit at the end. Come up with the project first and work backwards.
Yeah, I concur with that. We would always target the students to go home, what are your interests? You know, brainstorm at home, come in and brainstorm. Now you do, as Donald said, you get absolutely random projects you know nothing about, but like you, they educate you as the time goes on, which is great as well. I personally think that if the idea doesn't come from a student, or they don't have an interest in it, so they're not going to finish the project and not going to do it. And then they, you know, they don't want to do it. So I would really promote in what they're interested in.
Yeah, and that's probably the special thing, isn't it? Maybe in the classroom, in textbooks, you don't get the opportunity to work on something that might specifically interest you, but actually taking part in this event, you can really kind of broaden your scientific horizons in terms of which avenue you take, which is really exciting. I think, you know, traditionally science has maybe been seen as a geeky thing or kind of a nerdy thing, but there's definitely a move away from this. And I guess to partake in the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition, it's not necessarily just for those people who are deemed extra smart. But I guess, how would you encourage students to participate, in particular those students who may not feel like it's for them?
One of the things I'd often do with possibly first years or students joining our school for the first time is that, you know, they'd express an interest in joining, or they'd meet you on the corridor or something like that, and I say, stop. What I want is name, address, telephone number, parents, what are your interests, what are your hobbies, go away and write me an A4 page on that. If they don't have the rigors to write one A4 page over 7 days, they're probably going to struggle with Young Scientist. And I say, based on that, then we kind of exploring their areas that they're interested in and what they might do as a project. So something as simple as that, try and get them going up. It's Young Scientist can be a big thing, especially can be daunting if you tell them there's 50 pages report to do. And it's a question I'd often give students, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, one page at a time, and you build it up and it grows accordingly.
I was given that advice as well. And Daryl, you had something to add?
Yeah, so like the type of student who enters is more about the student and not maybe the caliber of them, but their interests. If they're passionate about something, they can be passionate enough to do Young Scientist. They don't need to be the H1, the distinction student. If they're really into something, we've had huge amounts of students in our past who may have ended up doing maybe Leaving Cert Applied, or even some, you know, we'd have massive attendance issues with, but we've got them in because of this. So like, the way I would always look at the kind of design a project around them is to try and marry a personal skill with a personal passion. So for example, if I know I'm really good at coding, but I'm also a farmer, you know, maybe school isn't where your attributes lie. You want to be out in the farm and doing stuff, but then you go back and say, okay, well, what's the problem you have in the farm? And then you're a fantastic coder. What could you do to make your life easier in the farm? And a lot of time, especially from where we were in Rush, you know, a desk school with a lot of rural background, we had some great projects from that area, from simple personal passion. And as mentioned already, if the project isn't something that they actually really enjoy, as Donald said, you know, a 50-page document sounds like an awful lot of work. So you have to really buy into what you're personally into, not trying, oh, I'd love to do Young Scientist, and then, you know, plague the teacher for an idea.
Definitely. Mary, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I just think the Young Scientist is really suitable for mixed ability groups. And I think that's the beauty of having the groups. And I know when I had my first meeting with anyone interested in the Young Scientist, they're all sitting kind of like friend groups, and I immediately try and disperse them. And I'm like, right, there's going to be people in here with really good ideas. There's going to be people here who can make the ideas happen that other people mightn't be able to do. And there's going to be a person here who will lead the team or be a good team player. And I think by separating them out and letting them know that everyone's skill is valued, we need people, the creative people, we need people who can do things, and just try and marry in groups together like that. And often I found personally in the past that you end up with groups, especially in transition year, and they wouldn't have been friendly in any way for the previous 3 years, but their skill sets or their interests just come together in the project. And I really think that's the beauty of the group work.
Yeah, and I think like that, doing a project, it uses so many different skills, right? It's not just the kind of traditional academic doing exam skills that people will be applying in these projects. And I think it's important, at least I find it's important to remember that science can actually be really creative, and creative people can, who don't traditionally see themselves as scientists, can also end up conducting absolutely fabulous projects as well. Do you encourage your students to work with people outside the school, like local businesses or universities or colleges? And how do you actually manage this within the rules of the exhibition?
So as I said earlier on, we're in Newcastle West, which is fairly rural and about 30 kilometres from Limerick City. We have good relationships built up with TUS and with UL over the years. And at this stage, having been involved for a good few years, we're lucky that a lot of our students are gone on and are working. Some of them are actually working in STEM, or some of them are actually working in the colleges. And for me as a teacher, one of the joys of it is when they will come back and give up their free time and say, I really enjoyed my time in Desmond College. I enjoy being involved in STEM. Can I help out a project? So one of the things we have is an alumni group. And in the alumni group, anyone who's been involved and got a project to the finish is invited to join. And they get to see the projects earlier on, as we'll post for projects we're likely to be doing, and they get to kind of choose one or maybe choose two where they might be able to have an input, and it will be done probably all remotely. Now, that was one of the beauties of COVID, where people got on board remotely, and that suits us not being able to commute in and out to Limerick.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea. I think when I was in school, we had it nearly informally, where like the older students who may have competed before may have like shown you their report as an example, and that sort of thing. But that's really interesting to actually get alumni who've graduated from the school back in. That's really cool. Does anyone else do any work with external bodies?
Over the last number of years, we have built some links with MTU and UCC, where, you know, we haven't had equipment. Like, even we had a wee project recently looking at NOSEMA, and we needed just a particular slide. So we contacted UCC, and they allowed us to borrow the equipment. And we have built up links there as well with MTU. We had a project that had done very well with microplastics, and a feedback from the judges in Dublin was maybe try and identify the microplastics. Now, this group, particular group, was selected to go to the Danish Young Scientist and represent Ireland. So obviously we did that then with MTU, identified the microplastics before we went on to Denmark. So, but again, it's a lot of the time, you know, the students might know, we've kind of used, if the students know someone in MTU, contact them, or maybe sometimes it's just an email from us. But I do think if you have the same teachers involved over time, as Donal said, you know, people, you have the contacts that you can reach out, and then they'll forward an email within UCC or MTU for the relevant people. And I think it has worked, but we've only kind of used it kind of once or twice to date, because a lot of the time, maybe the type of project we're doing or the students are doing the project, they, you know, can manage it themselves in the school environment, or, you know, they don't want to take it to the next level at some stages as well.
But similar to Bridget, I just find that that's probably one of the areas I'm weakest at, or some area I need to focus on. I found last year, I think my groups, I don't know how many cold emails they sent to organizations that were relevant to their projects, but didn't even receive replies, I suppose. And yeah, it is definitely an area I feel that could benefit more students. And I think some schools really use it. But then I suppose it does depend on the project, like Bridget said, like some projects just don't lend itself, or you don't need to be using external people, institutions, resources. But it's definitely an area that I need to focus a bit more on.
I think from at least when I did a project like 10 years ago, I remember, maybe things have changed, but we used to like that cold email people, and sometimes you wouldn't get a response, but sometimes you would. And this would accumulate in us being given equipment to borrow for kind of a few weeks at a time. There wasn't any sort of person we didn't contact, from like fishermen to farmers to scientists in UCC. But it's amazing how people really got on board to try and help with our project, which was really nice. You might have seen that the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition has introduced a new category for 2024. It's called Health and Wellbeing. What do you guys think about this new category?
I saw that there, and I was hoping to get a bit more feedback maybe from the group here at the meeting. In reading the category, and that's one of the things we do, we read the rules and we read the associated bits, and we'd always look for an angle. And certainly we've had projects back over the years that would have been on the health thing. Generally speaking, there would have been the technology section. And I'm still a bit unsure whether a technology project would lend itself into this category this year. So it's assuming that I'm going to visit BT anyway, right? Whether we get a project in. And I look forward to seeing the projects that are in that section and seeing maybe it's an option. Because historically, if you look back the projects, there was ones in geography going back 3 years ago, in social sciences. And It's lovely to see that as BT hits its 60th anniversary, that yet again, it's reinventing itself and adding on a whole new category. And there will be a group of students and a group of teachers that will lend itself for. Maybe it might be a bit too early for us, but I look forward to seeing what it offers.
Yeah, if I was to jump in there, it's great to see BT and the new category. And I suppose does tie a lot in what the students we're currently dealing with are really interested in. Like, you know, we have this big push in school to increase well-being hours as part of their junior cycle and leaving circle kind of syllabus. To me, again, as Donal, I'm going in a little bit blind, but I kind of see it as the middle ground sometimes between the social behavioral and the biological ecological. You know, sometimes we've done projects, you know, to do with sleep and, you know, patterns and habits, and you don't know, well, is that a social problem or, you know, technically it's a biological problem because it's a biological process. So I kind of see the health and well-being kind of as the middle ground. If you're unsure, is it going to go to biological, ecological, or social behavior. So again, I'm really interested to see the kind of stuff that's going to end up in it. You know, I would say we will probably put something into this world, because I find that it's definitely an area, from even just brainstorming with our students here so far, that they're very, very, you know, well informed on and have personal interest in.
Yeah, definitely. I can see it being a popular category, especially as the years go on and we kind of start to see what it evolves into being. So let's move on to maybe like during the event. Obviously, a huge part of the event and probably something that makes students nervous before they go up is the judging process. In your experience, how have your students found the judging process and how do you help them prepare for it?
I think I mentioned earlier on that I get past students to come in and interview the students. I get them to pitch to their own classes or maybe to their own teachers. Or we set up in the library the day before we go to BT and we'd bring in whole class groups. And they start off maybe a little bit slow, but by the time they pitch to their peers and pitch to their teachers, they're well capable for it. I've yet to find that the judges that they meet above at BT are any bit more daunting than pitching to your teacher. The judges are kind, thoughtful. They sit down frequently with the students. They'll pull them around them and they'll ask them, tell me about your project, and they'll take notes. There is never, ever criticism or poor feedback given. And I'll admit that some of our projects are not as good as some of the other ones. You would never know from the students. They'd come back and say, "Hi, he loved it. He thought it was great." And I'm saying, yeah, I'm sure he did. And they come away enthused and really excited about it, that someone with a professorship or a doctorate would give them affirmation that there is some scientific value in their project. And I think the judges are basically kind, and that's nice to see.
And the judges, I think they do the judging out of the love for it and out of the love for science. So I think they also are just inspired by talking to these young students about their science as well.
Marion, did you have a point on the judging experience?
I think Donal alluded to it there. I think my students anyway, I think they find it far more daunting talking to their peers and the older class groups and bring them into my fifth and sixth year physics and getting them to explain to them. I think that it really, there's fear in them when they're doing that. And I think they much rather talking to judges. So it's really good experience for them. And I suppose I'm always telling my students, you know, go home. And if you can explain your project to your granny or your granddad and they know exactly what you're doing, you know, you understand your project well and you're getting your point across. So make sure that, you know, you get people at home to quiz you on it. And that if you're going away at Christmas to family gatherings, that your people are asking you about it so that you have a good understanding yourself on how to communicate it effectively.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? Up at the event, you also end up pitching your project to loads of different levels. You have judges, you have your peers, you have the general public. So you kind of have to learn how to talk about it in many different ways, which can be tiring.
Yeah, for sure.
So for those of you from outside Dublin, which I think you all are, how is it to like travel up and to experience kind of a few days away from the school? Is that exciting for the students? And how do you find it?
It's exciting, daunting, and stressful at times. So obviously, I expect I'm the same as everybody else. You can't leave to go to be a young scientist without having prepped all your classes in advance. So there's quite a lot of work to be left. I'm very fortunate in that I'm released each year by my management that allows to do that. And I'm very fortunate to be supported by colleagues who cover my classes. So that's the first part. Staying above a hotel in Dublin is one of the highlights for some of the students. It's nice. Occasionally, I know one student who had never been out of Munster. So to get on a bus and go to Dublin was a huge event. To be able to walk down and get pizza or get pizza delivered to the hotel for some of them can be a big thing. Being a young scientist is different. It offers opportunities. Students who've been there before will coach the younger ones on what to do. And I say one of the rules that I'd have with students staying outside is that they all have to go to groups. So whether it's taking part in the events like going to the disco, they'll all go together and I'll meet them. They'll all come back together. So you have first years bonding with fifth years, and invariably, usually is the oldest student that I have or someone who's been there before would be a team lead. So it wouldn't be unusual to have a male team lead or a female team lead to help the others and guide them and to make it a bit easier for me. So it's exciting, rewarding, but it is hard work as well.
So let's talk about, I guess, after the event. What do you think is the most important takeaway for the students that have participated in BTYSTE? How do you see your students grow?
Well, one thing I definitely can say from us would be the counting down the days until the next RDS event happens. The amount of them who, once they enter, they really catch the bug, per se, and will be like knocking on your door the week later saying, here's my idea for next year. And as Donal has probably alluded to, and I haven't had the experience of having to travel to the RDS yet. I had been based in Dublin. The first week back is you're pretty tired and you just want to get back to the normality of doing the day job and teaching. But like the desire for them to constantly want to come back. We've had some students who've done it three times and you know, the excitement they get from it is one of the real big take homes I think they get from it. On personal skills, though, it's kind of what you're alluding to again with the judging, the ability and to watch them grow every time you hear them present their project. is just incredible. Like, obviously the first judging can be really daunting, especially for the younger ones. There's this, you know, very established professor or doctor sitting down beside them, and they can be a little bit, you know, scared of the whole procedure. But after they get the first one, and then by the time Friday comes around, they don't even want to talk to the teacher. They're too busy telling every member of the public about what their project is. And as you said before, like, it's going from, you know, the young kids who are coming in because their brothers and sisters are in it, who are in primary school, the primary school fair going on, kids running around, to people in their elderly age. And just seeing them, their presentation skills just go absolutely through the roof after the event.
Definitely. I think I still applied like some of the kind of science communication tips that I would have used during the BT Young Scientist. I still apply those now, and I'm doing a PhD. So, you know, it's something you don't lose as well as you move on past it.
Yeah, I think they gain huge amount of the soft skills. And I know that's probably a cliche, but to see their confidence grow, their speaking in class, their communication skills. And I think, you know, you do build a huge rapport with the students. You're working so closely with them in the lead up to the project, and you see a different side of them in Dublin, and they see a different side of you as well. I personally enjoy, meeting colleagues from different schools and, listen to their students. And often myself and other colleagues who I've only met through the Young Scientists, our students would group together and enjoy the evenings together. And I think, you know, the students really get a sense of they're not the only ones that have interest in a certain area. They find a sense of belonging with them, and that really gives them huge confidence coming back to school, in my opinion.
And I think you kind of alluded to this, Mary, but I'd love to know, as teachers, what do you personally get out of being involved? Like, not the school, but you personally.
All the teachers on here have said it already. Like, there's a huge buzz in the RDS. There's a huge amount of enthusiasm. It is a highlight of the year. I love to see students getting involved in science. And what really gets it for me is when students who think that science isn't for them get involved, get their project through, even if they're just submitting a project and it doesn't get through. The fact that they've gone to the effort, had the confidence to put together an application form to come and discuss, a scientific principle or something that they're interested in, that really does it for me. That's really what I get from it. And that would be my main reason for going the whole time.
Okay. And so obviously over the years in your involvement, you've all mentored, I guess, quite a substantial amount of students at this stage. Do you have any memories that like really stand out to you over the years?
I suppose one of the memories, and it was a recent one, was last year, having not been at the RDS for the previous 2 years. First of all, to be nominated in a category is a bit of an achievement. I felt happy. But also when my name was called out in the RDS and I get to do, as I call, the walk of shame, and my students are on their feet giving a cap and calling out, I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah, it does seem like a nice memory. It's really lovely to see all the students like supporting their teachers when they win Educator of Excellence. You can see kind of the impact your work has also had on the students, which is really like lovely to watch.
I suppose for me, and to kind of having gone from, you know, a non really historical school in the competition, I can still remember hearing the name of our first winner get called out. So a fantastic student. And won first place in the junior social behavior individual category back in 2018, and I can still remember that. And then the fortune of another one of our students winning the subsequently next category was just a bit of an overload in the space of about a minute and a half. And I suppose for me, who was kind of half had in my head that I was going to be leaving the school that I was previously in to cap it off with the best school in the Republic last year alongside a personal award was, it's not something I don't think I'm ever going to forget in a sense.
Yeah, such a like a big achievement and kind of seeing so much hard work pay off. Yeah.
Just the accumulation of the couple of years, and like it was seeing what the school and the team we'd built around and just the culture that we were able to establish in such a short space of time was incredible, I have to say.
Yeah, you kind of cultivated nearly this love for science in the school. It's really special. And do you have anything to add, Mary?
I'm reluctant to add anything. We have a rule that happens in the RDS stays in the RDS. I have so many fond memories and so many funny moments. And I think Donal said it's so many firsts for so many students. And, you know, you have laughter and tears in equal amounts from tiredness and excitement and giddiness. And yeah, I have so many memories. And I think Daryl said it there, like you always remember the first group, your first time up there, and a lot of special memories. And, you know, most of our parents would come up and see the students, and, you know, they'd all have nice comments and, you know, would pick up on something that they see in their own child that maybe I wouldn't have seen. And that's something that stands out to them. And I think that's really nice. But yeah, loads of memories. But yeah, I'm going to stick with the rule of what happens in the RDS stays there.
That's probably not a bad rule. So as you know, BT Ireland have been the custodians of the young scientists for over 2 decades now. What do you think are the highlights of BT's involvement in the event?
As anyone who's been to BT will know, and I think it's the memory of a lot of the students coming home, is the redcoats. And the passion and enthusiasm that these redcoats bring, even the announcement of the bus is now leaving and, you know, the usual the bit of quips and all that, it's exciting and it's different. And I said, they come away having met people who volunteered and given up of their free time to make their experience at BT a little bit special. And they do. And I would hope that as the students mature and go on to college or to apprenticeships or whatever and head on to life, that they in turn might do part of that volunteering themselves and might see the benefit on it and pass it on to others, having been lucky to receive it themselves.
Yeah, I think on the redcoats as well, I think like Mary Cahillan is around the RDS. She's on the floor all of the time and she's a welcoming face. And if there's any issues, she's there, and everything is just done so professionally. And I just think it's great that we kind of see them and have access to the BT staff. And I think, you know, the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony, you know, the BT staff are there, the President Shea, is it? You know, he opens the ceremony and they talk directly to the students. They give a little bit about their company. Do you know, I think it's great, their involvement, and it's so professional.
And it's the show, isn't it? There's such like the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony, they feel huge. It's the lighting, it's kind of the show that they put on, I think is really makes the event as well. It makes it so much more than just a science fair, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's huge, I can't even imagine the logistics that go into it. I find the logistics of getting, you know, 11 or 15 kids to the RDS challenging, never mind the work that they must put into it.
Yeah, I think it'd be quite cool to see behind the scenes of it, but they should do a documentary. But yeah, anyway, that is all the questions I have for you guys, unless there's anything else that you want to add or any comments or insights.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If anybody is looking for help with surveys and need groups, I have 2 TY groups, willing and able, so I can share it with that. And just to say to the lads, I hope to see you in January and we'll have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and on that, best of luck to absolutely everyone out there that's taking part. And if anyone ever needs to reach out or has a question, no matter how silly or how big, we've all been there. So make sure to reach out to any of us. There's always someone there to give an opinion, whether it be right or wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose if you're contemplating, you know, having a go, just do it. You'll see the enjoyment that you get out of it yourself as a teacher, to meet colleagues like we have here and see the buzz on the students' faces. It's just give it a go, do it once, and you might regret it because it takes up a lot of time, but it's so worth it.
Brilliant. Well, thank you all so much for joining me. It's been lovely to kind of hear what you think and hear your thoughts, and for taking some time after, I'm sure, a busy school day and a busy week back. And thank you too to our listeners. We hope you found this useful. You've joined us for yet another episode of STEM Inspirations. Check out our socials and our other podcasts. And until next time, stay curious.